This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus release by warming your synapses with rejuvenated radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your brain. Can you feel it? Is it working? Is it working, Greens and MK? Is it working?
I feel something.
Yeah? Yes.
Greens, don't you collectivize us, Dean.
Oh, aren't you part of the Green Party? I'm kidding. No, okay. So I am Michael W. Dean for the Freedom Fiends. I'm still sick. I'm going to hand it over to my lovely and strange co-hosts, MK Lords, Dan Green, and Katie Green. The ones who sound like foreigners are Dan Green and Katie Green. They're from Glasgow, Scotland, which is, if you go there, you'll get glassed. You'll get hit in the head with a glass in a bar. It's very common there. And MK is broadcasting from her underground bunker. Well, it's not underground because she'd be under a swamp because she's below sea level. Yeah, she's in the... what do you call that neighborhood there? The Redneck Riviera.
Yeah. Ooh la la.
All right. And what's everybody's wrestling name? I am the Iron Hamster. And who else we got? MK, what are you?
I'm the Wolfram Panther.
Yeah. Dan, what are you? Katie, what are you?
We actually were talking about this recently. We don't actually have one yet.
Oh. Speak up. Oh. Speak up, kids, like you're on radio.
We are sans.
Yeah, kids,
while
you're on the radio, pretend you're enjoying yourself. Yeah.
I know, I am.
Yeah. Dan's quiet now.
I don't know. We are.
When I used to go on holidays, that's what I always remember people saying to me when they were taking photographs. They used to always go, like, pretend you're on holiday. You know what I mean? Pretend you're having a good time. No one, just me.
So,
no, we are actually without those names, so I apologize.
Oh yeah,
we'll
okay.
Try harder.
Well, you know, you don't. We're never in a rush to give them to people because we want people to have ones they can live with. And
exactly.
Yeah, the Moorish.
It's not something you just like rush into.
The Moorish haggis.
You just gotta feel it.
The Moorish haggis. Yeah. All right. So
we're just mentioning haggis.
The Moorish haggis. Yes.
The Moorish haggis. All right, so
don't you racially abuse me.
Racially abuse you. All right, so the topic is freedom. I do want to start by saying Barack Obama is a liar. He's a socialist and his feet stink. Scotland, you got anybody else to say that about over there? Go ahead, Scotland.
We dislike David Cameron.
You dislike him
Dislike him.
Are you willing
we're just too polite about it.
Are you
That's so polite.
Are you willing to say that he's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink, or are you afraid to?
I'm
not afraid to. I mean, I would say that. I wouldn't really call him a socialist. I'd just call him a loser, to be honest, and a ridiculous human being.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, let's just say David Cameron is a ridiculous human being. How does that work?
Yes, and calling any politician from the UK a socialist is redundant. Yeah, it's like saying...
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
All right, of course. The topic is freedom. What do you guys got? All y'all.
On freedom.
Jump in at once.
All y'all.
MK.
Just feeling the freedom pretty hard lately, and that's good. So, freedom's a state of mind. It's a great thing. And what's been on my mind, I guess, lately? I guess I'll talk about that. What do you guys think of, it's something I call libertarian fundamentalism?
Like, is that a good thing or a bad? Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I've just been noticing, I guess, a lot of parallels with some of the purists of libertarianism, like the people who have the purity tests, like, you're not libertarian enough, or like, you know, you need to do this to be a real libertarian kind of thing. And it reminds me of like the Christian fundamentalists who are like, well, you got to do this, 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 and this, or you're not a real, you know, Christian, or you're not a real. Sure. Any fundamentalist works. I mean, it works with, I guess, any kind of religion or hardcore philosophy.
Well, I'm probably not a libertarian fundamentalist, and I am condemned by libertarian fundamentalists because I've recently come out as saying there are times you need to violate the non-aggression principle.
which is antithetical, or do things that would resemble violating the non-aggression principle. You know, basically, I've said that to keep your libertarian community intact, occasionally you have to spend less time worrying about when you're going to shoot somebody and just punch people once in a while.
In the nose.
I'm okay with a solid, well-placed punch. A short,
sharp shock.
Just keep people in line. Well, like some people don't understand, you know, conversations and using language to settle disputes, unfortunately. There's still a lot of those vestiges of violent culture in people, and, you know, sometimes they don't understand other ways. It's
There's people as well that will push it incredibly too far and say things that they know will just get you to, they're trying to coerce you into violating it. But sometimes I think it is justified. But I think Dan had a good point about this earlier.
That was, well, funnily enough, just because you,
you
mentioned like
here.
Libertarian fundamentalism. An interesting point is here, like, you know, the sort of, there's not a lot
turn
of
Dan
libertarians.
Not turn a lot Dan of down. Turn Dan's channel down a little bit. This is a teaching hospital. We're not in the same room. For people who are listening, we're in different nations. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Dan. Go ahead, Dan. MK, you there?
Yeah, I'm still here. They might have gotten...
Yeah.
Did they get
dropped? I think they got droned. So what do you think, MK?
Oh, no. Well, yeah, so it's just kind of been on my mind. I've just been seeing a lot of parallels, you know, between just the danger of fundamentalist thinking is really more so what I'm getting at, that there needs to be purity tests and that you need to even, which like something like ostracizing someone, it's a great thing. It's a way to nonviolently deal with things. But do you think that some people kind of take it too far where they say, oh, well, I won't associate with, you know, I won't even date a statist. Like I wouldn't even, you know, I wouldn't even.
Well,
like,
first
consider,
of all,
you know,
I think
from a romantic.
First
you
of
know,
all, I think Jim Jesus nailed it. Last thing he said as we were finishing the show the other day. Because we had a discussion about dating libertarians, about whether to commit exogamy and date outside the community or to only date libertarians. He said at the very end, he said, I think we should be dating statists and converting them. I really like that a lot.
So, yeah, right. And the thing is, though, I don't like that word converting. And this is exactly what I wanted to get at. Is it weirds me out? Like it makes me. It's like a bad touch on my like spirituality to talk about converting when it comes to philosophy. It seems cultish to me. I don't, and it reminds me of religion. And going back to kind of the Christian fundamentalists or any religious, you know, fundamentalism where you have a kind of conversion zealotry at the very beginning when you convert over, a lot of people get really into it, you know, like are people who become saved and they're like, I have to tell everyone, and that's you know, not a bad thing. You're gonna have that kind of zeal in the beginning.
Fiend
but
phone.
It can be kind of strange. Oh, hey
you guys back?
Oh
yeah, hi.
Hi.
Don't know what happened.
I'm so sorry. I have no idea what went wrong.
Well, you have UK internets. You guys have had net neutrality longer than America, and once in a while the government just says, oh, you've used too much internets for the day, and they cut you off for a few minutes. All right, so just listen in and jump back in.
Sorry.
When you can. So go ahead, MK.
Sure thing.
Yeah, so the word, and I've been seeing a lot of libertarians using this word lately, and it just rubs
converting
me the wrong
people.
Way.
Converting
people.
Status.
Here's
what I think.
I know why. Like, I understand why. You know, I get it, but the language, it turns me off. The rhetoric just...
I like the thing they say in AA is attraction rather than promotion is the idea in AA, is to not proselytize. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of that thing of like, show them you're sober, don't tell them you're sober. You know, every alcoholic has quit and started and quit and started and said, you know, been in a bar toasting his friends with a soda pop saying, I'm 7 days sober. And they're all like, yay. And, you know, he goes back to drinking. And really, like, the thing to do is, like, not tell people you're sober. Just suddenly, you know, they haven't seen you for 6 months. They're like, wow, you look good and you don't smell. What happened? And you have a job. You know, oh, well, I don't drink anymore. I'm in AA. But
if you're showing that you're living a fulfilled life, people are going to notice that, and they might ask you about it, and then, you know, talk about your philosophy or religion.
The problem is a lot of libertarians don't live a fulfilled life. They're just talkers. My biggest complaint with libertarians is they talk endlessly about the joys of capitalism and the free market, and they tend to be really bad at it. First of all, I think a lot more libertarians need to start their own business and be successful about it and not cyberbag. And I also kind of think if people are doing activism, you know, in the 60s, the yippies had bail funds for people doing activism. They had their act together and they had people who had a lot of money. Like, let's say people who were down with the revolution and had a lot of money but didn't want to be known for it, who would secretly just put money into bail funds for people to get who got arrested. You know, I don't think it's a good idea to go out and do activism that's probably going to get you arrested and then jump on the internet and try to raise money for it. It's not going to work very well. You're going to be in jail a long time.
Or activities or things like I agree with that certain laws don't need to exist. Certain laws are unethical or immoral. But should you be flagrantly breaking them if you can't afford the consequences of them? Should that burden fall on other people? For example, if you break a law that's very serious and you are facing jail time, should you be doing a crowd fundraising thing to raise money for an attorney when really maybe you shouldn't have been participating in that irresponsible behavior and in such a public manner? Or, you know, there are things you can do to get around laws. You know, there are things you can do to disapprove of laws and show your disapproval. But, you know, it's more anarchic to go around them, find routes around and, you know, maybe not flagrantly violate every law that you think is unjust. Self-protection. You don't win if they throw you in a cage.
I know. I understand that. Dan and I were talking recently about kind of like being a libertarian, I guess, but sort of we do have to have a side of our lives that's kind of boring and stuff, and like the, you know, the job part and, you know, having to work and things like that. But you can do a lot with your time. And, you know, I'm trying to practice this. I'm not great at it. Dan's far better at it than I am about utilizing my time that I have.
Let me give you a great recommendation there for anyone. There was a guy called Arnold Bennett who was like he was an English writer at the start of the 20th century, and he wrote a lot of novels and stuff, but he was quite stoic, and he wrote a lot of really good, helpful books. Sort of, you could say they were sort of early self-help books, but I know there was ones that existed before that, and he wrote a great book called How to Live on 24 Hours a Day. And
how to live on $24 a day or hours a day?
24 hours a day.
All right, cool. We're going to be back after this trip to the market.
Woo.
On the Freedom Fiends.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
For some reason in this country, and in most of the Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FiendPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Sound level.
I think we're good. Yeah. And we're ready. Okay. We're going to the next segment here. Cool. Yeah. Uh-huh. Wee. Wee. Freedom Fiends. We went to the break, and Dan was recommending a book, and he was talking into his sock, and I couldn't really hear him. I think it was called How to Live on 24 Pints a Day. Was that it?
Not quite.
What was it?
No, that one didn't work out for me too well.
How
to Live on How to Live on 24 Hours a Day.
Hours or dollars? Hours?
Hours.
Hours. As in, all right. Yeah, hours. Right. Yeah. So he basically, you know, he talks about how, like, like a bored person basically is not living their life because, you know, you should have way too much to do with your time.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, but it wasn't even just that. He wrote other books that were like that. This guy, Arnold Bennett, I'm talking about. He wrote one called Mental Efficiency, which was a great one as well. There was a few of these different ones. He was quite stoic, actually, in his philosophy. Yeah. He always mentioned the stoic philosophers. But these were kind of like early sort of 1900s self-help books. Some of them, there's the occasional sort of offhand racist comment in them. But like that was, I think that was just the
back
vernacular
in the past
of
when
his
racism
day.
Wasn't invented yet.
Yeah, but if you, racism hadn't been invented then.
Yeah,
but
it wasn't a thing then.
If you kind of turn a blind eye to that, they're all up for free on the internet. You can even get the audio versions on LibriVox. They're really, really good.
One of the reasons why I was kind of talking about it is because I've talked about this recently, kind of self-seceding yourself. I mean, I think, MK, you were kind of talking about kind of breaking laws and things like that. There are ways to do things in a live your life the way that you want to live it, but you don't have to, let's say, put yourself at risk of being incarcerated to do so. You don't have to risk your livelihood as such. You know, I think you have to work with what you have, work within the limitations of what you have. You know, Dan and I live in a country where it's not possible for us to collect a bunch of guns and have them, you know, hanging on the wall. That's the realistic thing of our situation. Would I like to? Yeah, sure. But I, you know, it's not in the realms of possibility. Therefore, I don't go out of my way to try and like break the rule just because I think it's unjust or unfair. So I think there's a certain level of like self-responsibility that comes with it. Like you say, if you're going to go out and do something, you have to take the consequences. You buy the ticket, you take the ride, you take everything that comes with it. I know I'm quoting. But anyway, that's sort of my two cents on that.
That quote usually means something else.
But you can apply it to self. Yeah, to responsibility. You buy the ticket, you take the ride.
To me, there's nothing more anarchic than self-responsibility. You know, taking the full responsibility for the consequences of your actions. This isn't, I think people get caught up on rhetoric and terminology because it's colored by maybe bad experiences or definitions that they just accept without thinking about. But anarchy to me is very much about a personal self-responsibility. And it's not as complicated as people want to make it out to be. It's not chaos. It's not something scary. It's just you alone are morally responsible for what you do, as Heinlein put it. So it's something that, you know, you mentioned earlier about libertarians kind of being better capitalists. I think that that could definitely play a role too. That's something I pointed out in my Libertarian Welfare Queens article. And another thing I'd like to say about that is, I was thinking about it the other day, that libertarian, there's this other term, celebritarian. So all libertarian welfare queens, right? So libertarian welfare queens is a little different, but all libertarian welfare queens are celebritarians, but not all celebritarians are libertarian welfare queens, because a lot of them do produce valuable content.
I'm neither.
You know, they're doing a lot. And I feel like I'm neither. And there's a lot, I think the majority of people who practice a philosophy are really neither.
I think,
you know,
as soon
they're just
as
trying to get along. They're just trying to survive.
I think as soon as a Freedom Fiends co-host gets famous, we have to fire him. I really do.
Oh, okay. That is a warning to all of us.
No, okay, I'm kidding. Your five movie deal is going to go down.
I'm just being a punk
rocker.
Although
I do encourage more libertarians to sell out, though.
Now, explain what you mean by sell out.
Well,
hey,
do
Adam
what you need
Kokesh
to make money.
Adam Kokesh is in Details magazine this month. He's literally the poster boy, the pinup boy for Liberty this month. Did you know that? Did you know he's in Details magazine?
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
My
if
mother
you have to go to the bathroom and
my
vomit,
mother bases
go ahead.
My mother
we'll
bases
wait, it's
everything.
Okay. We'll understand.
My mother bases everything about my libertarianism by what she sees on YouTube by Adam Kokesh, because I showed her one video
really?
One time.
I phoned into his show one time before we started a podcast that was ages ago.
I'm lucky. My dad's too old to know how to use YouTube. I sent him links and he's like, I can hear it, but I can't see it. Like, he ends up with it playing under a window and can't
my mother
get to the
finds
window.
Me.
We're going to go do some free market flea marketing.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean.
This is what radio sounds like now. LRN.FM needs your help getting our satellite signal back on in Africa. Our satellite provider had us on at no charge from 2012 through February of this year when they pulled the channel off the air. Now we're trying to raise $22,000 to continue reaching people with the message of liberty in places where it's needed most. Please visit our Indiegogo fundraiser at africa.lrn.fm. Give what you can and share the link with your friends. africa.lrn.fm.
Freedom Fiends, coming back from the flea market. You guys like flea markets? I love flea markets.
Yeah, love them.
Didn't you go to one in
Florida? The only kind of flea market, yeah, I visited one in Florida.
But Dan, I keep telling you, that wasn't an actual flea market.
It said flea market on the door.
It said it on the thing, but it was false advertising, and you have not experienced an actual flea market, so please don't lie.
No, Dan, this was a flea market, although it just looked like everyone had basically taken all the rubbish that they'd stored in their attic for the last 10 years and poured it onto tables and were charging like a dollar for everything.
Dan, you need to go and be educated.
No, but it wasn't even good.
Thrifting.
But it wasn't even fun, you know. Like sometimes we'll go to the West End here, and there is like a lot of charity shops.
You can
pick up, yeah, you can pick up great books and things like that. But like this was just terrible.
It was awful. But
it was so destroying for me.
But no, but I love going to places like that. We have a few here in the West End of Glasgow. It's quite a nice part. There's like a couple of universities. It's really nice. And they have a lot of, we don't really call them thrift stores, I guess just secondhand stores. Remember that place, Dan? Relics?
Yeah, there's a place called, and Relics is, you struggle just to actually walk around.
You can't really get in.
It's like if you can imagine a massive skip or dumpster that's been just poured onto shelves, but everything's kind of fallen off the shelves. And there's all these wee tiny corridors in between where you can walk. So usually on a Sunday, there's about six or seven people all sort of rubbing up against each other. If you're into that kind of thing, it's a good place to be, you know?
Yes.
I don't know. It kind of sounds like Blade Runner to me.
Yes.
Yeah, no, but it's a pretty weird dystopian reality. But no, I really like places like that. And a lot of the stuff in our house is, in fact, I think everything in our house, apart from maybe the bed, is from like a secondhand place.
Did you guys ever see Blade Runner?
Yeah.
I did. But I've talked before about how I didn't like it so much because I'd just read the book, like The Android's Dream
you
of Electric Sheep, not long before.
You and
it.
Your books.
I know.
Yeah.
We're from America.
We're from America. We like movies. But my wife likes books.
I like
a lot.
Books.
I write I books. I don't
like
read books.
Movies.
Yeah, I do want to say
before, more of a visual person.
Before we get into this discussion, before we get off of flea markets, I want to say something about yard sales, which are kind of like flea markets in Wyoming. That's going to blow the mind of the Scots, and probably not be that shocking to MK. In Wyoming, you can buy guns at yard sales, and people often sell guns at yard sales. I could literally sell AK-47s every weekend in my yard with a yard sale and put signs up around the neighborhood that say yard sales with AK-47s as long as I bought a $5 permit for the yard sale from the city and then collected the signs afterwards after the sale.
The American in me wants to go number one after hearing that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah,
But if you're dying of cancer in this state, they'll still throw you in prison for an ounce of weed. Do you have medical marijuana where you live, MK? Do they have that there yet?
No way.
Oh, they shot it down. They had medical marijuana on the ballot for the last kind of midterm election, and it almost passed. It was very close, but it didn't quite pass. But I think it was a good thing. I actually wrote an article against cannabis legalization, at least in Florida, because it doesn't the way they were doing it, I don't think makes sense for this state. And I think they were trying to add a lot more red tape onto things and actually make it a little more dangerous to possess marijuana here. So because it's Florida, you really got to think. Florida's kind of different from other states. A lot of people immediately think, oh, legalization is a good thing. But like, if Florida can mess something up, like, they will find a way.
If anybody can mess something up, Florida will mess it up. Is that what you're saying?
Florida will, yes, yes. They will find a way to mess up the coolest thing possible. So, I mean, we'll see. I think it's getting pretty close. It'll be on the ballot again soon. And I think it's going to be closer to passing.
I think it's going to be the main agenda of the next presidential election, and I think it's why the Democrats are going to win, and I think it's the Republicans' fault that they're going to lose because they're clinging to this thing of like, drugs are bad, okay, I have the right to, you know, thinking you have the right to, like, you know, it's kind of surprising to me that in Florida, where there's so many old people, you know, you'd think like, oh, old people vote and they're against fun things or, you know, drugs. But old people also have a lot of ailments and probably would benefit from medical marijuana more than young people by far.
Well, so you can get CBD oil for medical conditions.
It's the stuff that doesn't get you high, right?
Right. It's non-psychoactive. So people who are suffering from these ailments and want to use that, they can get a license and they are able to attain that. You would think Florida is such a weird state because you would think that more people would be pro legalization for medicinal reasons. There are a lot of older people. And I think kind of in the South Florida area, it's a lot more popular. You go closer to Miami and kind of that area. Florida is like three or four different states, though. People got to remember that. So where I'm at, I'm in the panhandle, and it's like hardcore right wing, like drugs are bad, like, you know, Bible Belt area, and very anti-drugs. And then you go further south and people are more pro-legalization. And there's kind of Tallahassee, the capital, is kind of smack in the middle of that. So there's always a struggle when it comes to these kind of laws. And Florida's got such a diverse population of people, too, that it's hard to get them to agree on anything. Well, even if it seems good.
Legalization is a funny one. I'm actually not for legalization. I'm more for the decriminalization, purely from the point of I do believe, from what I've read and people I've spoken to that live in, for example, Colorado, people are still actually going to the black market because it's still cheaper.
because the
tax and the regulations must be like, they must need so many lamps, like verified by whatever body or something. It's just awful. Like to grow it and stuff. Yeah. Like,
hey, did you guys see Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom yet? The film that I made with
Nina Fatti? Awesome, of course.
Yeah, definitely. Cool.
Yeah.
Love it.
Because I thought, maybe, what was the film that you hadn't seen yet that you were going to see? Was it the Selby movie? Hubert Selby?
Also, to MK.
Who are you talking
to? I'm talking to the Scots and to a lesser extent the MK, because this is carrying back to a conversation I had with the Scots a while back. You were going to get something.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Anarchy is the only one I see.
The Road to Anarchy.
Yeah.
That's the update.
Oh,
the Road to Freedom. It's called Guns, Weed, and Anarchy, The Road to Freedom.
It's right?
The director's cut. Basically, what happened was we made that film when I was a minarchist, on my way to being a no-government man. And we finished the film like 4.5 or 5 years ago and put it out, you know, through MVD or the people that put out my films. And, you know, it got out there. It sold a bunch of copies. It got a lot of hits on YouTube. And I went on to other projects and didn't watch it for 4.5 years. And I showed it at Porkfest this year. We had a late night showing. It was like midnight or something. There were like 35 people there. It was in the children's petting zoo or something, that open place up by the swimming pool. And it's not where you pet children. It's where children go pet animals.
That's important to make that perfectly clear children were harmed.
Yeah. Because some parents did bring their children to the midnight showing of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, which was interesting. But
I don't see anything wrong with that.
So I watched it for the first time in 4.5 years, and I was watching it going, there's so much constitution licking in this. There's so much, we need to restore the republic. And I'm like, I was embarrassed almost to see it. So like, on the plane home, I watched it. I downloaded the torrent of it in the hotel room. I watched it with headphones on the plane home back to Wyoming and made notes of everything I was going to cut. And when we got home, I napped for like 4 hours, and then I got up and started cutting. And like 8 hours later, I had a director's cut of it that looked seamless. Like you couldn't even tell where the cuts were. That was, the original was 99 minutes long. And I think the director's cut is like 72 minutes long. And then I also, there's also a YouTube video of everything I cut. I put that up so you can see all the Stato licking.
I'll need to see that.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. But yeah, man, there you go. Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. Go to gunsandweed.com. And I don't take the weeds, but I like the guns. And the whole premise of the movie is there's no such thing as half free. There's no such thing as half free. And you can't really call yourself a freedom person if you're, if you have any asterisks in your freedom of like, well, I think guns should be okay, but not weed, or I think weed should be okay, but not guns. So there.
Why not both?
Well, do you know what we were talking about, like in Colorado there, how basically legalizing weed is just, you know, people are still going to black markets and things. And we've been to Amsterdam a few times, Katie and I, and it's more of a decriminalization sort of thing. It's more of a gray area. So the marijuana is a lot cheaper there.
And they were so polite to us when we were there.
The police kind of have this sort of, from what I know and from talking to people in Amsterdam, the police kind of have this unspoken sort of, we won't ask who your supplier is sort of thing.
We've got better
stuff to do. Although they are trying to regulate more things, like what shops can open besides schools at a certain time.
Yes.
That's the only bad point. But apart from that, I mean, it's a good place to go in that kind of, in those kind of terms, because you can get so much choice. It just shows you what like a more
it's
open
such a
market
big free
of
market.
Weed.
Like, you can go and you can go to any cafe you want. I mean, it's a really, really funny story.
As long as you avoid the touristy traps.
When we were staying there the first time, I didn't realize where our hotel was. I basically booked us a hotel in the red light district.
It was literally like two minutes walk.
Yeah, it was a good deal. And it was you walk around a corner and there's a woman in the window. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize, but it's fine. Like, I'm fine with it. I was like, oh my.
That sounds like something I would do, because I would just look for the cheapest place available. Oops.
I like to look at the map, and the closest to like the center is, I'm like, yep, that's where we're staying. So
one of the times we went, actually, Katie, was when Katie used to smoke cigarettes, and I always remember you walked up to the guy, and the guy that was working in the coffee shop, he was as stoned as everyone in the coffee shop.
He was more stoned than anyone.
And Katie walked up and she says, okay, if I smoke a cigarette, and the guy went, please do, technically you're not supposed to smoke cigarettes indoors, but you're not supposed to smoke weed outside.
Yeah, it's really weird, but it's all smoke, really, so they just sort of go, just do what you want, and if the police come in, hide your cigarettes. I don't know. But
smoking ban makes no sense.
I've never felt safer. Like, I would rather walk the streets of Amsterdam at 1 in the morning in the red light district than I would 2 a.m. up in Glasgow city centre.
Every time.
And that's saying something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This is Michael Dean from The Freedom Fiends. I've been using Blockit Pocket, and I love it. Blockit Pocket protects your cell phone, tablet, or laptop from remote tracking and data theft. I've tested it. It works. Put your cell phone inside, call from another phone, and the phone in the Blockit Pocket won't ring because all signals in and out are blocked. Avoid calls and texts at the wrong moment. Keep your location private. Protect passports and credit cards. Water-resistant, hand-washable, and stylish in many designs. Go to blockitpocket.com. That's blockitpocket.com. Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Me neither.
Yeah, and people have these big ideas that...
Did you hear that too, right, Dan?
No, it's just in your head. It's not really happening.
It's happening.
Freedom Fiends. I don't feel that safe at Porkfest because there's a lot of drunk people holding guns who don't know how to carry guns. That's my only problem.
That is true. That happened. That's frightening. Yeah, last year actually.
I saw people sweeping, muzzle sweeping a lot.
Very dangerous.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, right. But I don't feel the need to carry one. So I guess we were talking about Porkfest and how safe I feel at Porkfest. I carry pretty much every day due to the nature of my work. So I kind of have to carry for security reasons. And also, you know, in my off time, too, when I'm out certain places, you know, as a petite woman walking around, you know, things can be kind of scary sometimes. But at Porkfest, I don't feel that kind of anxiety that I do if I'm in like the downtown area where I live or something like that. So, I mean, I haven't even I think the first year I brought my gun in my holster with the intention of wearing it. And then I never felt the need to. And same with last year and this year, too. I won't even be bringing it because I feel so comfortable. There are enough responsible people around who are carrying that I do feel safe, but I also feel like there's a good level of respect there too, as far as personal space. And I've been to a lot of festivals, and that's not always the case. Like, people don't always respect your personal space and property. But at Porkfest, I've always had really good experiences as far as, like, you know, people respecting your boundaries and your campsite and things like that. So that's really nice. It's all of the kind of positive aspects of a festival without that kind of people creeping into your personal space. I've noticed at other places.
Dobby Barker thinks that's going to change. He thinks that the next year or the year after that is going to be the one where all the creeps show up. Not necessarily. He thinks it's possible. Well, put it this way. He thinks that the time when he can leave bars of silver on his table and go to lunch and come back are maybe gone soon.
Yeah, that's possible. The more people you have at these events, the more likely that is to be. That's
the more mainstream press, too.
It works with festivals,
I mean, there's a
too,
lot of press there where, like, you're probably going to get frat boys from Boston coming up. And, you know, a lot of libertarians would be like, oh, well, we can do whatever we want because we're armed and they're not. But, you know, being armed isn't going to keep them from, like, stealing things when no one's looking and get away with it. They might get away with it, you know.
And this is why I stopped going to the larger, more kind of corporate festivals, is because they get the reputation of it's a free for all. You can do anything. So the people who don't have that self-responsibility we were talking about earlier, they go and they can't handle themselves and they end up getting, I saw several people overdosing, or you'd get your stuff stolen, just very unsavory people. Mm-hmm. You know, the more people you pack into a place, the more criminal element there is. You know, I like smaller, more close-knit festivals.
Also, libertarians aren't willing to punch people, too. Like, okay, let's say this. Like, if four frat dudes from Boston came up who were, like, all built like Adam Kokesh, came into Porkfest and started being really obnoxious, what would happen? Would someone pull a gun on them, or would people just say, you're violating the non-aggression principle? Or would someone punch him in the face? Or what would happen?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Sorry, I was just going to say I'd like to think that the people would all gather together and say, well, all for one, you know, we're all going to gang up.
Are you a musketeer? Do you think they're musketeers?
I'm an individual. I'm an individual. I'm not going to join a group.
They have security.
That's collectivist.
They have security there, but they're, you know, like, I remember they were trying to keep Chris. What's his name? Chris Cantwell out, because he'd been banned from there.
He said
he was going to try to sneak in, and you know they were almost like searching people at the border kind of thing. But they were also like of the mind of like, well, he believes in the non-aggression principle and respecting property rights. So if we catch him trying to sneak in, he'll leave without and just grumble, you know. But if you got people coming in from like Boston or whatever, you know, who are frat boys who don't even know what the non-aggression principle is, and they're just there to like hit on chicks and smoke weed and mess with people, what's going to happen? I'd be curious.
Because
at Grateful Dead shows, you've got bikers to take care of that.
I was just about to use that comparison. At festivals, there's enough
more bikers?
Of a, I wouldn't mind more bikers.
Do we need to just get like big, beefy security people?
Well, do you know what I was going to say? Seeing this talking about festivals and like how they can change, I've noticed that as well, because there was like a Scottish music festival called Tea in the Park, and it used to be like, yeah, it used to be like more alternative and stuff, but it's become more mainstream over the years. And now it's actually gotten so ridiculous there. This is how there's a drugs amnesty bin. So if you're feeling bad about having drugs at a festival, you can put them in the drugs amnesty bin and relieve your conscience.
It should be like the leave a penny,
thank
take
you,
a penny.
Police Scotland.
Leave a penny, take
a
penny.
5 minutes alone with it. All I asked for.
All right.
I know.
Just jump
Hour
in.
Two coming up on the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
Jump in and swim.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse of anyone. Reused by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. I am Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, talking to MK Lords, the Wolfram Panther. Is that it?
Yeah.
And I'm talking to Dan Green and Katie Green from the Scottish Couples Cast Greening Out podcast at greeningoutpodcast.com, right? Is that it?
That's yep. Right.
Okay, that's the only one we're going to give out. We're not going to give out the fruity.co.uk one. This is America. All right.
You find it fruity.
It's bad enough that you're trying to come and take our radio jobs, you foreigners. And I think your radio, your temporary radio wrestling name is, collectively, you are the Drunken Haggis. Isn't that it? Isn't that
okay.
Your radio
wrestling? Okay, I'll take it.
Okay, for now, until you get another one.
Drunken Haggis. Okay.
So the topic, after I point out that Barack Obama is a liar, Barack Obama and David Cameron hold hands, and they are liars, socialists, and their feet stink. And the topic, I guess...
They have a love affair.
They
going
do.
On,
but not I like think. Bush and who was it back then?
Blair.
Tony Blair.
Oh,
they were
sleeping
joined
together,
at the hip
I think.
There.
Yeah, they were licking each other in the dark.
During 9/11, they were just all over
Often the British Prime Minister always looks like he's tagging along behind the U.S. President,
hello,
like he's his
does.
Bigger pal, and he's like it's okay,
like
he's
a puppy,
my pal
like
over
a
there.
Faithful
we might
puppy.
Be tiny.
Don't be, really, really like, don't be mean to me because my pal's over there, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, it just bugs me, you know?
And he runs a big country, a big one.
Yeah. There's never been anyone like Churchill since Churchill. I mean, I'm not sticking up for him, but
oh, he was awful.
Yeah, but there's never been like
he was funny though. Sometimes.
There's never been an alpha military political leader like that in England since. Well, England still had sort of a they had overseas holdings. They had empires then. Now they have like a couple rocks with sheep on them, and they still say that the sun never sets on England, but yeah.
The problem was classical liberalism, which basically became libertarianism later on, used to be a dominant ideology in this country in the 19th century, but
died
it quickly
out.
Devolved into social liberalism, which is what we will now call liberalism.
Yeah.
Which was a darn shame. Let's just put it that way. A darn shame.
But I think that this country's headed for something bad. Something bad.
You know, it's happening. Funny. You can say
storms are brewing.
I think you can say that without saying what country you're in. And Americans listening will think you're talking about America.
I guess
it's the same thing.
Every generation must feel that too. I think that, you know, I've spoken to my dad and I've spoken to people like older, and they always go, "We always thought we were the revolution."
Let's
talk
about that. I want to hear MK's thoughts on that. Because there's two of you and one of MK, so MK's not getting to talk that much. I want her to jump in and fight for her right to party.
Girl.
You go, girl.
Fight for my right. I mean, is it like, okay, so I guess I'm a bit of a pessimist when it comes to this because I'm looking at kind of my generation and the younger generations, and I'm just not super impressed. I don't really think there's that kind of revolutionary spirit. I think... I question how much you should sacrifice for a future that may or may not happen in terms of like libertarianism. So kind of bringing it around to libertarianism. This is one quick thing I want to mention. I don't call myself a libertarian anymore. I still believe in a lot of the principles and all. But because of our discussion about security, I don't believe in the non-aggression principle as like it's all a unifying force. And so I just go by regular anarchists now because there are anarchists who do believe that maybe force can be extended past the non-aggression principle. And that's kind of where I am in some cases. Just to clarify,
They spend too much time worrying about who they're going to punt, who they're going to shoot, and when they should be thinking about who they're going to punch. I really believe that.
Yeah. So, right. It's a proportionality thing for me. Obviously, no one should be beaten up over, some of the words that they write or the words that they say or a paperclip or something like that. Like, use rationality in some level of, your critical thinking skills and reasoning skills to determine what's necessary.
You know, the paperclip argument, I got to say this, the argument that it's okay to shoot somebody over a paperclip is literally draconian, because the term draconian comes from the ancient lawmaker. I don't remember if he was Greek or Roman. I think he was Greek. Does anyone know? Dracos, who was known for assigning the death penalty to minor crimes like stealing an apple. So literally... that's being draconian to say you should be able to shoot somebody for paper.
Is that why that kid in Harry Potter is called Draco Malfoy?
Is he evil? Is he evil?
He is.
Yeah. He is evil. Oh my gosh. That's why. Yep.
I love it when pennies drop. Sorry.
Dracos.
It's okay.
Yeah. Draco.
But the paperclips thing.
It's also Latin for dragon.
But St. Patrick's Day kind of reminded me of the paperclip argument because I almost posted this on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. I chose not to, but I was thinking of it as like, don't pinch me because that's a violation of the non-aggression principle and I will be able to kill you. You know, like it's the lack of nuance and thought that bothers me with a lot of libertarians and how they apply the non-aggression principle. And ultimately, when you're not dealing with someone who believes the same as you philosophically, you're going to have to speak in a different language that they do understand. And a lot of people are still stuck. I would say the majority of people are still stuck in the mindset that, force needs to be met with force sometimes. So, I hope that one day we can evolve past that, though. I will say that, it would be so nice to live in a situation where the non-aggression principle is a foundational part of society and people just, violence and physical force is a complete last resort, but we're not there yet. And I don't know that we'll make it there for a very, very long time.
So. I want to start using the term draconian as an insult for libertarians that are doing it wrong, because Draco, who was a Greek 7th century BC, first legislator of Athens in ancient Greece, he replaced the prevailing system of oral law with written code to be enforced only by a court. So he basically, took away not even tribal law. What's the term that Davi uses for what he says non-aggression principles should be? It's the opposite of statutory law. Do you guys remember?
I know what he's talking about. It's not common law. It's, he said that before.
I'm not even going to pretend I can't know.
Natural law?
No, he used the term.
No, it wasn't. It was a different one.
I'll get it.
Well, see, just while we're
okay, he said. Dobby Barker said the non-aggression principle is not statutory law; it's customary law, and people need to remember that. Yeah, statutory law is what Draco replaced customary law with. Oral law was customary law, and it allowed, some leniency and variation and no mandatory minimums. So, yeah, I really think that people who argue that the non-aggression principle is unfungible, and, I guess we're, I guess somebody would say that we're thick libertarians because we're saying this kind of stuff, but I don't think so. I think thick libertarianism implies that you have a lot of agendas that go along with your non-aggression principle. I think this is more like quantum libertarianism, that it's not a left-right paradigm of statutory law. Again, I'm stressing the importance of being able to punch somebody when they're way out of line in a libertarian community before they cause so much trouble. You know, it's kind of a correction. It's like a cat, you know, a cat and a dog, if they live together in the same house, like, or two cats. Like, this happens with our cats all the time. Like, the younger, more playful cat will chase the older cat and or want to chase it. And the older cat's like, I don't want to do that. And sometimes it'll put up with it. And then sometimes the older cat will just turn around and go, or even like whap, like smack the younger cat in the face with his paw. Swipe it. Yeah. Not claw it, just smack it. And it's a correction. Yeah. It occurs in nature. And I don't see why that can't extend to human behavior.
Yeah, and I think an example that I want to bring up, and you may be aware of this, Michael, is a situation that recently happened at the Keene Activist Center. This person was banned from there after a presentation that women presented to the Keene Activist Center, saying this particular individual seems to be very aggressive towards women, very kind of creepy was the word used, which I know people abuse that word, but these women were very concerned that none of the men were doing anything about this person. And it wasn't like a feminist thing or anything like that. It was like, hey, it really goes a long way towards these people who look up to the men in the movement for those men to say something when their behavior is out of line.
They're afraid of being called white knights.
If someone's not respecting what a woman... Well, which is stupid because, first of all, this guy isn't about... He doesn't respect women. It doesn't matter if they tell him to stop. If I tell a man to stop bothering me, it doesn't matter a lot of times.
Why don't they just kick him in the groin?
But a good swift kick to the groin... Or someone who's larger than me threatening them to, you know, if they keep the unacceptable behavior up, threatening them. I see nothing wrong with that. I see nothing wrong with being physically removing someone from a property or, you know, using threats of violence to protect other people who are genuinely concerned for their personal safety. And as a smaller person, again, you know, maybe some of the guys in Liberty don't experience this, but this is why some of the women in, you know, whatever you want to call the movement are kind of vocal about it, because it is something that we have to consider more often when we're out and about.
I
think it's common sense. This is not something that other people struggle with too. Like, if someone's being a creep in regular non-libertarian society, they get a butt whooping, or, you know, words and actions exchanged.
You know who would shut that down? You know who would shut that down in seconds? Is anarcho-communists. I hate to say it because I don't like communists.
No, that's true, though.
They would not tolerate them. And, you know, it would probably be a female pulling a switchblade on the guy. But it would at least be overwhelming verbal get the hell out. I've seen it happen, man.
Some people cannot be reasoned with. Some people cannot be, you know, you can't use, you know, non-violent, what is it, the language, non-violent communication. It doesn't work with a lot of people. It just doesn't. And, you know, call me a statist, call me whatever, a fake libertarian, whatever you want to call me, but...
You're a quantum libertarian. And that's going to be the name of this episode, is the genesis of quantum libertarianism. We're inventing it right now.
There you go.
Building the roads.
Maybe it's libertarianism plus.
We built the road.
Now we just have to connect other roads to it. We've built the one spur.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
When I get
the right. I like that one.
Fork it. We'll do it live.
hardcore.
You laughed more the first time I said it. Let me hear you laugh like you laughed the first time I said, "Fork it, we'll do it live." Okay, so we're forking libertarianism. We are making a fork off of it, inventing what we're calling for now quantum libertarianism, but we'll probably come up with a better term for it, quantum anarchy. I don't know, the word quantum is overused in the same way that, like,
I like common sense libertarianism.
No, it's too long.
To me, this is just common sense stuff.
That's how about punch? How about bloody nose libertarianism? it's got to be more descriptive. That's pretty descriptive, but yeah, I think we're doing it. So when you're making a software, open source software project, when people working on adding things to it get to a point where they don't agree anymore, you can do what's called forking it, which is where you fork the project off into another iteration of it, so you don't have to argue with the other people. You can just, like, basically take the code and run and do your own thing with it. And it's pretty common for that to happen. And has happened with a lot of well-known software projects. And sometimes it happens just because it's a completely new kind of project. Like, I would argue that Namecoin is a fork off of Bitcoin, or maybe off of Litecoin. Yeah. I forget which code they used. But, you know, most cryptocurrencies, with few exceptions other than Bitcoin, are forks off of Bitcoin, or I think Litecoin. I think Litecoin was one of the first alternate coins, and it had slightly different code. It actually maybe improved on some things from Bitcoin. And I think a lot of people fork off of Litecoin. But yeah, we're forking it. Fork it. We'll do it live here on the Freedom Fiends. We're forking libertarianism, and we're forging it into, we're building the road. We have one little spur that connects to our property, and it doesn't connect up to anything yet. So we're going to try to encourage people to build roads to our spur on the railroad of liberty. So what do you guys got more on this topic?
Well, I was going to say, would you mind terribly if, like, I take back, well, not take back, but, like, go back to what MK was saying about how, like, she doesn't sort of like to call herself a libertarian and stuff. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to go all weird and jump into a kind of story related to mysticism, if that's okay.
I don't know what you're asking permission for, but go ahead.
Okay, so I said this on a recent interview we did as well. But what I kept, like, when we first started doing our podcast, it was kind of a goof and just kind of like, we were just kind of messing around.
It was just like it was a hobby. Well, yeah, it still is.
And then there was this period when we started to take ourselves very, very seriously.
A little bit and too then, seriously.
Yeah. And I was reading this book again that I'd read for ages. And I always say this, if I can't pronounce his first name, but Shunryu. Like that, Suzuki. Something like that. I apologize. But he wrote a book. He was a Buddhist monk, and he wrote a book called Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. And he talked about how expressing your true nature. So if you're just sitting in, like, a Zazen sort of meditation position, you're expressing your true nature. And that's kind of what I started to think about, because there was a small time when I thought, oh, we need to change the world. We've got to do something about this. We have to fix things, and we need to influence people. And then I realized that, no, not really. The fact that just doing this, like, for example, this just talking, is expressing my true nature, because it's how I feel. Mm-hmm. So it's the same. It's taking, you can take that, what he was talking about, by just sitting as expressing, you know, what is inside of you. It's the, I know it can sound a bit corny, but it does make a lot of sense. So that's why I'm not concerned about changing the world or changing the planet. I'm more concerned about having fun, because just speaking, just doing this is doing what I believe, you know, because that's what I feel.
Communication is key. And I think that the internet is something we have, that is for wonderful now. And we should, well, for now, yes. while we still have it, we should use it Mr. to our advantage Negative. And connect with as many people as possible, fill yourself with as much knowledge as possible, and just do what you want with your time. Yeah.
Yeah, I think people should take the time. Really, I think people should take the time to get Fiendphone working and learn to use it, because Fiendphone works with IP addresses instead of with web domains. So it would be more likely to work if they started banning domains, or, seizing domains. And we're adding encryption to it. That's the next thing. We decided we were going to add recording capability to it next, but because that would make it kind of a killer app for podcasters. But the thing is, you can already record it. I'm recording it right now with an outboard device, but it cannot. There is no excellent sounding encrypted voice application out there. Zero. They do not exist. And the world needs that. So that's going to be the next thing we're going to add to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's really to Dan's point, I'm really looking forward to that. And to Dan's point, that's definitely, I'm definitely feeling that. You got to work on yourself first before you think you can change the world. And I'm nowhere near fixing myself.
Worms. We're going to go to the flea, flea market. And then we'll be back. Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squizcar Squigelts from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
I made notes that I don't even...
Freedom Fiends. For some reason, we've gone from the concept of if you meet the libertarian jerk in the road, punch him in the nose... We've gone to mysticism, so I'm going to sit this one out. I don't know anything about it. I only know what I see right in front of me, so take it, y'all.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of riff off of Dan's point earlier about knowing your true self, and I don't think that a label needs to come into play necessarily. I mean, people can call their philosophy libertarianism or anarchism, but I like moving away from those kind of terms because where I'm at now philosophically is, I guess you could say, a personal form of anarchism. But I don't even really like saying that because it implies that I think I know what the best system is for everyone. And I really don't believe that I do. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe I'm anywhere close in my own mental mental evolution to know what's best for everyone and to know the proper ways to fix things. You know, you hear a lot of talk from libertarian, if we just had free markets, things would be fine. If we just had this, if we just had this, if just the government would leave us alone, and they do all of this activism and they try to get the word out there and they try to convert people, which the word convert makes me think of trying to force someone to believe what you believe. And I don't want to convert anyone to anything, even if it's something I do believe. It really bothers me. That like so yeah, I believe that I can be fully responsible for my actions, but I also believe that other people don't have the same kind of self-control. I don't believe that, for example, anarchy as a philosophy could be applied broadly because I don't believe that a lot of people are responsible enough to do that. And I don't really even going back to the labels thing.
Even if we put them in libertarian re-indoctrination camps.
Right. I don't want any re-education camps for anything, even if I agree with it. But it's like, I just know personally, like, So many libertarians try to do so much activism without realizing that maybe they're not as responsible as they expect everyone else to all of a sudden
They're horrible.
This libertarian paradise.
If you sleep with one of them, you sleep with all of them. That's what I heard about New Hampshire. from one of them who's doing that. I don't know. I think a bunch of them have like discovered polyamory last month or something. And I'm like, man,
last month,
I was over that 7 years ago. All right.
That's so 7 years ago.
I was over that 1 year. I was over that 1 year into my marriage. That is so old. All right.
Yeah. It's a nice. Well, it's another. That's another thing too. I would argue that the same thing applies to polyamory that as it does to anarchism. Is it takes a very enlightened person to be able to have that kind of self management and understanding of themselves and other people, and have the communication skills to really pull it off. And I don't think it's for everyone. And I would disagree to say. I've seen a lot of the polyamory people like, oh, monogamy is just unenlightened and barbaric, and we're just more enlightened. And to be honest, if you have to say that, you know, yeah, you don't come off as super enlightened. I mean, nope. I just got to say, like, the polyamorous I've met, like, what bless their hearts.
Thing thou doth protest too much, I think. That's the thing. It's like you're being a little bit too defensive, but Dan, you're looking at me like you want to say something.
No, it's just
being defensive without anyone attacking them. Like, no one cares what you do with your
preemptive
life.
Defense.
Like, no one's attacking them, yeah. You know? It's not like there's a war on polyamory or something. I don't know. At least I haven't seen it. I don't think people care that much.
I live in Mormon country. Even the square people here might think it's not a bad idea.
See,
some of them.
See, I actually think we throw around this word enlightened, we throw it around way too much, because, you know, anyone like who takes up a serious discipline of anything like that, you know, it's a much more, it's like we just throw this around. Like you hear feminists and like a lot of like people in that are really sort of state socialist. Yeah. Particularly I've heard a lot of Scandinavian sort of people saying that about, look how enlightened we are. Our government pays for everything. You know what I mean? And they don't understand what the term enlightenment is. Because enlightenment isn't like, you know, it's not some kind of super understanding of anything. It's supposed to be like, you know, it's the best way I heard it described was I heard a lecture by this Buddhist teacher. And he said it's like a card trick. It seems completely impossible when you look at it, but then when the magician shows you how he's done it, you go, oh my God, how it was right in front of my eyes the entire time. I can't believe I couldn't have seen it.
Well, I've been consciously trying to be a little bit more like, well, trying to secede a little bit more. Dan, we've talked about this. You're looking at me like I'm insane, but I'm talking.
I'm
about
not.
Like,
that's just how I look at you generally.
Yeah, you're looking at me like
I look at you like that all the time. You should really notice that more. No,
it's like the self-secession thing. It's like it's removing yourself from the state and sort of living your life the way you want to live it and making it work for you.
A nation of
as
two,
as opposed to trying to conform to certain things. I gave myself a really, really hard time for a long time about things I felt I should be doing by the age that I wasn't doing. And now that I'm sort of taking a bit more of a live in the now thing, it's fantastic. It's great. So that's sort of like, I think, getting away in a bit of like mental freedom.
Living in the now thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say it's non-attachment, right? It's kind of unattaching yourself from these entanglements. Mentally, I think it's the most important thing to do. I mean, physically, you can't extract yourself from the state, but you can mentally. So
not yet.
See, as well, I think an important thing, if we're bringing in all this crazy mysticism talk, is this idea that, like, you know, there only is just now. You know, this got popularized by Eckhart Tolle and the New Age movement and sort of the word I want to use about it, I don't think I could say on the radio.
I actually have a tattoo on my back from that, inspired by the book Be Here Now. It says Be Here Now. I was really into that for a while. I was really into that stuff. I'm not into the New Age stuff so much anymore, but I, you know, I get the sentiment, and I mean, it's something nice. So.
I was given three copies of the book Be Here Now in 1976 when I was 12, within 3 months of each other by three of my family members.
And you're like, are you trying to tell me something?
See, it is an important thing, and it goes back to like Buddhist and Hindu and even Taoist ideas, this whole idea that nothing ever happened to you in the past and nothing will ever happen in the future, because anytime anything ever happens is always right now. The past and the future are purely mental abstractions.
You sound like John Lennon
no
right now.
Such thing. But that's how I honestly feel.
I totally have it down in front of me.
Yeah, it is only right now.
You guys,
nothing happened to you in the past. Nothing.
I happen to have Tao Te Ching right in front of me, so I pulled it down from the shelf. Yeah. And And I just happened to randomly open it. It kind of goes along with what you're saying. Without
Jenga.
Opening your door, you can open your heart to the world. Without looking out your window, you can see the essence of the Tao. The more you know, the less you understand. The master arrives without leaving, sees the light without looking, achieves without doing a thing.
Okay, so what I use for divining the future, what I use for divining the future is libertarians against humanity. Let's see. Anarchy, but who will build the blank? All right, I'm going to get this call. You guys keep talking.
Who will build the... Okay. So, no, we're just talking about, like...
I'm liking the mysticism chat.
Yeah, I think this is a good thing to talk about, because I don't think it's talked about enough. And surely we all have to be comfortable with ourselves if we're going to live in, you know, harmony with one another. You know, we're on a rock together. We have to get on. We don't have to.
I got into the occult and things like that when I was, like, maybe sort of in my teens, and then I revisited it in my later 20s. But the thing I noticed was, like, I actually noticed, we were talking about self-help earlier, I noticed a link between self-help and the occult, because a lot of the occult writings I read seemed to be all about bettering yourself to make yourself to this better state. It just had more mystical language, but it was the same idea as the self-help books.
Well, it was the same idea about changing your life, doing all things. All the celebs and Oprah were like, oh, it's a secret.
My issue with the secret is it took a lot of... that were a lot of occult ideas, and let's be clear about this, occult just means hidden. That's all it means. Yeah. That's all that word means, you know. But like the secret took all that and just basically made it into some kind of fluffy. Again, it's like Eckhart Tolle taking this old Buddhist knowledge of there is only now, there was never a past. Nothing ever happened in the past. Nothing will happen in the future. It's only now. And it's the same idea. And I was into Thelema and stuff like that for a while, kind of Aleister Crowley philosophy. Mm-hmm. I was in the OTO, the Ordo Templi Orientis. I'm not now.
Oh, really?
But now everyone probably think I'm in the Illuminati, but I've already said that before.
I can assure you,
I do not run the world. If I ran the world...
As much as he likes to think he does not have any kind of clout like that. So.
I don't make enough money.
They gave me the tattoos, so I got the eye in the pyramid with the be here now around. So yeah, it totally looks like I'm in the Illuminati. Yeah. So I'm waiting for my paycheck, because I've been shilling for him for like, God, years now. So
there you go.
Where's my money? but the self-help stuff is pretty interesting, and there's less mystical ways of saying the same thing too, like what you were saying. I know books like The Six Pillars of Self-Esteem, kind of an objectivist take on it is really, really interesting. And it's good to work on yourself, and I don't know that there's enough activists who really put the time into working on themselves before they go out into the world and they really want to change. And that goes of any kind of activist. I'm not just talking about libertarians, any kind of activist. I mean, everyone wants the world to be a better place, and they have that urge to want to see things more peacefully. And, they want to do, a lot of people want to just do something, and they don't realize that, it's hard work changing the world. It doesn't happen overnight, and it's not something that, it's better to work on yourself, improve your own life and try to find a balanced approach to living that works for you. And people will see that kind of, I think you can derive inner peace without religion, but for some people, they need religion, and that's fine. And whatever brings you that inner peace, if you can find it and, just live it, I think you're going to be a much happier person.
So. Yeah, exactly. If you can find a way to live your life and you live by sort of morals and ethics that you believe are right, and you can kind of stick with that, and you can stand by your decisions, you can own what you do, then absolutely, I think you'll be a heck of a lot happier. And it's something I'm consciously trying to do. And I say consciously because I say a lot of things like, I'm going to do that. There are things I'm consciously actively trying to do, like in the middle of the day go, okay, let's do this. So I'm just trying
to... even living consciously, that's
totally
living consciously is an important thing. And we kind of disparage Eckhart Tolle a little bit for his The Power of Now and all that kind of thing,
but they are good messages,
because he is regurgitating, but I suppose in a way, to be fair to him, at least he's bringing something back, but it shows that that's come through, different cultures, completely different cultures all over the world all had that same idea, and it's all coming together.
listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
For the radio. Are you allowed to call him Papa Dean?
Yeah. No, okay. Go ahead and say it, Dad. Are you there?
You're going to send me something to see it. Tell me that?
No, you say it. You've said it before. What do you think of Barack Obama?
I'd like to see that.
What do you think of Barack Obama, Dad?
I think he is a foreign-born Muslim dictator.
All right.
Oh, my. Okay. There you go. There you go. You know what? Freedom of speech, yo. What are you going to do?
Freedom fiends.
For the people and by the people.
Yeah.
All right.
We need to get back to the Constitution,
for
Dad.
For the people.
Yeah. I'm a constitutionalist. I'm a Christian constitutionalist. That defines me.
Cool.
All right.
Fair play.
Okay.
I feel like I could be a form of constitutionalist, like not the Constitution, capital C, but like I could, you know, I could probably be a minarchist on some level if things were scaled back enough and there was some maybe kind of constitution. But I don't know. I'd prefer even less than that. But I understand some people like they're, you know, they like a little more structure than I do, maybe. So, and I'm okay with like people wanting other governments. Really, more than anything, I guess you could say I'm a panarchist. Like, I think it's okay. Like, people have the right to want to be ruled over, and that's not really popular to say to people who don't want to be ruled over. Because like I don't feel that I need to be ruled over, but someone has that right to. Like, I recognize someone's right to not want to lead themselves. I mean, I don't know what's best for them, ultimately. So if that's what's better for them, then they can choose to have their communities, you know, over there, as long as they don't try to force it on me and I can just, like, maybe visit and leave when I want to or whatever, or maybe not go there at all. But, you know, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay with people making their own governments if they really want that.
That's Katie's fear about the left. Katie has this fear because we were discussing
this. I'm not scared of the left.
They want to convert you.
No, my dad
has a point, and I got to say that was my 93-year-old dad calling, and I muted my mic, let you guys keep talking, and told him, I'm like, I'm doing a live radio show right now. I can't talk. I need to call you back. And he just kept telling me about what the family was doing and repeating what he'd left on a 7-minute message on my answering machine until the beep hit last night. So I just listened to him for a while.
I love old people.
Yeah, I do too. So I just had to put him on the air. I had to put him on the air to tell us so he could tell us that Barack Obama is a foreign-born Muslim tyrant. And, you know, I mean, he's on the, he wants people to listen to him. I'm busy.
Fair enough.
And I listen to him all the time, but like, you know, 10,000 people just listen to him. So he got to have his say. I told him he was on the radio. I think he understood it. And if you want to hear a hip hop song that we used a sample of my dad with his permission, go on Google or on YouTube, Google's YouTube, and search Obama's Feet Stink is the name of the hip hop song, the hip hop rap musical song that I did with Rich Black and Nima Vidadi. It's pretty cool. And it's got my dad saying, the hook is my dad saying, Barack Obama is a liar, he's a socialist, and his feet stink. It's a pretty awesome song.
It's a fun song. I like it.
Yeah. Nice. Sorry, so go ahead.
I was going to say just about the left, you know, we were talking about kind of
foreign-born anarchism.
I know. basically, we're talking about this sort of thing about like pan-anarchism, and I guess maybe an idea, I don't know if this is what you meant, MK, but it, like maybe the anarcho-communists could have their bit and the anarcho-capitalists could have their
If they have a big, big fence around them so it doesn't spread.
But my problem would be that the anarcho-capitalists, if you're good ANCAP, if you are, if you barter well, you know, if you actually have a good economic plan, you could probably live pretty well. However, over the anarcho-communist side, I don't see it going very well when they're run out of food and money and nobody's doing anything and things are failing and people are going, well, I'm not getting my fair share of this.
Well, they say communism doesn't work because you always run out of other people's money.
Well, that's what Thatcher actually said.
And that's something my dad would agree 100% with us on. Although he thinks FDR was a good guy because he saved the farms, and my dad was a farmer. So You know, at least my dad's not a liberal.
Well, I think the ANCAPs would be pretty well armed.
My
I find it hard to believe that if it came down to like an anarcho-communist versus anarcho-capitalist, you know, ANCOMs lasting long.
They think guns should be state guns. Like literally, every communist, communists love guns. I mean, you know, Mao said communist power comes from the barrel of a gun, which is actually true.
That is true.
But the communists always take the guns away after the revolution. They don't have citizen.
It's always up against
gun
the wall.
Ownership. Yeah, up against the wall. Mother fluffers.
Not in the good way.
Fluffers.
In the bad way.
Right. All right. This is weird.
That's weird, Katie.
No, I'm just making a joke.
We made it.
I've
weird.
Had fun.
It's been
this
good.
Is fun.
It's been real good. Stick around for the secret real. Stick around for the secret real show that we don't record after this. The Bavarian Gulch. You're invited.
Ooh.
All of you.
Give me a worm. Like sounds delicious.
It is.
Worms.
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 Freedom Fiends. We'll be back tomorrow and every day until droned.
Which could be soon.
Could be soon.
Worms.